This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:18 a.m., Tuesday the 15th of December. And in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Amanina Abdul Rahman, economist at the World Bank Malaysia, on job creation in the country. But in the meantime, let's talk about another important issue, electoral reform. Because Senior Minister Dato' Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali is heading up a special cabinet committee that will study the recommendations put forward by the Electoral Reform Committee back in August of this year.
Yes, according to Dato' Taqiyuddin Hassan, the de facto law minister, the cabinet committee will study the report and identify what can be achieved before it is released to the public for their feedback. In fact, Lynn, I think earlier in the year we had a breakfast grill with the ERC chairman, so search it up on the BFM website. You should be able to get a view of that interview. It was quite enlightening, actually. Now, the ERC report put forth at 49 recommendations to overhaul the voting system, including appointing new members to the Electoral Boundary Commission on a yearly basis instead of the current practice of once every 8 years. They also suggested new laws governing public funds, donations, and private money channeled into political parties, and making sure one candidate competes only for one seat.
So I guess how seriously will the government consider these reform proposals, and can reforms be put in place before we head into the next general elections? Joining us to weigh in on this, we have Dr. Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Tsinghua University. He's also part of the Electoral Reforms Committee. Good morning, Chin Huat. Thank you for joining us. Now, what do we know about the Special Cabinet Committee so far and their mandate? Has there been or will there be consultations with the ERC?
Unfortunately, not to my knowledge. So this has been announced in a way a surprise to everyone.
So the ERC report has not yet been public, although Law Minister Dato Taqiyuddin Hassan says that it will be released for public feedback once the Cabinet Committee has studied the proposal. Do you think the report should be made public sooner, though?
Yes, certainly. I think that we need to start the conversation wider, even though that the ERC has conducted 16 engagement in different states and town, but it's important for this to be taken wider at the same time while the cabinet is studying it. There's no reason that we need to wait until one conversation's end before another conversation starts.
So what do you expect from this cabinet committee then? How do you think they should be conducting their study into the ERC's findings?
I hope that they would actually open up in discussion. If you look at the content, some parts of the ERC proposals are not very procedural, very operational. They could actually get implemented very quickly, like on registrations and voting, on campaign and media and voter educations. But on the other hand, what would be more important is those involving reorganizing the election commission, changing the electoral system, talking about category governments and dissolutions and finance. All this involve party interests, and realistically speaking, all this reform can only happen if you have cross-party consensus.
So I guess with that in mind, Chinua, what do you expect from the cabinet committee? How do you think they should be taking that into what actions could be the top of mind when we look at electoral reforms, right? Because there are rumblings of a snap poll in the coming year. Do you think we'll see an early GE in 2021, perhaps in the first half of the year?
I personally am not convinced that G will happen the first half of next year for two reasons. One, that despite the arrival of vaccines, vaccination would take time. It would not finish by first half of the year. And going for GE when it is not necessary means that taking unnecessary risks. Second, as the pandemic loomed large, the economy will be hard hit, and I doubt that any government would want to go into elections so quick when the economy is not doing well. So the assumption that it would come is that the pandemics would have resided by then, and the economy would have rebounded. But I think both these assumptions are rather strong. And coming back to electoral reform, no matter when elections should be done, the procedural reform should be carried out, especially in absentee voting. We should now implement extensive remote voting, postal voting, early voting, and so on, so that we can actually have election held in the safest way.
But in a practical sense, Chin Huat, is it possible for these extended reforms in absentee voting and postal voting, can these be actually put in place before GE15, in your estimation?
When will GE15 be held is a question of political decision. Because technically, if the government wants to go all the way to the end, as long as it survives, this can be in August 2023. So we are talking about, you know, still nearly 3 years, to 2.5 years to go. And so on the other hand, if you are looking at Sarawak, the latest can be August the 5th. So it's a question about whether do we have political will here. To expand absentee voting in various form is not as challenging as automatic voter registration. So if the EC can set a deadline, they will be able to do it. So the question here is, are we going to take the rights of voters seriously, especially Sarawakians? Because many of them are here in other parts of Malaysia because their state is backward economically, educationally. So should they be punished? And now with the pandemic, it becomes much more obvious. It's not a question whether you have the money and the time to fly back, whether you are allowed to do so. So there's a lot of questions that we need to look at. And in terms of procedure, if we're going to have we want to minimize contact in campaigning, then we need to have televised debate, free airtime for the parties and candidates, and not just about preventing outsiders from getting into the villages and so on, which would only contribute to advantages for the incumbent party.
Another thing, Sarawak elections aside, Chin Huat, when we look to 2021, one of the big things that is, I think a lot of politicians or young people are looking forward to is younger participation in politics, right? Because we're hopefully going to see the voting age lowered and things like that, and automatic registration as well. How likely will GE15, though, see youth voter participation, especially taking those two factors in mind, considering that GE15 could happen at any point, really?
Not ruling out surprises that the demographic change that can bring to the picture. I, however, would like to caution on two things. One, that many young voters will feel cheated because even though they have their voting right, they would find the worth of their ballot is much lower than in many places. One estimate put the numbers of voters in Bangi to be at 400,000, which is twice than what you have now. And while the smallest constituency in Cameron probably would still remains, and in Semenanjung, which probably still remains like 50,000 and so on, you're talking about, you know, eight times possibly that difference. And how would young people be happy? So that's first thing. Second, if you're talking about young parties, young candidates under the first past the post system, their chance of making breakthrough is very limited unless they team up with larger parties.
And Chin Huat, since we have you on the line, Pakatan Harapan has urged all MPs to reject Budget 2021 during the final vote at its third reading today. Will they succeed?
That question hinges on whether there would be enough, there would be any, if not enough, UMNO members of parliament to go against the party line. If they do what they did, what their colleagues did in Perak, then of course it may happen. If none of them would go out, but rather just put a commitment and say, we have given a statutory declarations to one leader or another, then it would be another, it would just be another empty claim, unfortunately.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Chin Huat. That was Wang Chin Huat, political scientist at Sunway University and also part of the Electoral Reform Committee. If you're interested in more conversations about this, we've actually spoken to the chairman of the ERC, Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, way back in January. And we also spoke to former Dewan Rakyat Speaker, Tan Sri Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof, in September. He also gave insights into parliamentary reform. You can find those on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news. And after that, conversations with Chua Hak Bin, senior economist at Maybank Kim Eng, for his outlook on ASEAN countries next year. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.